Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Amazing things can happen when charitably minded people come together for a shared purpose. As the familiar saying goes, there's strength in numbers. And a perfect example of that is through this concept of collective giving or giving circles, a rapidly expanding movement in philanthropy in which all members pool their resources and they're all engaged in deciding what causes to support. They work together to create community connections and assess critical needs, all with the aim of achieving maximum charitable impact. Here to talk more about this today are my first guests, Laura Campbell, Executive Director, and Michelle Pollock, Treasurer from the 100 Women Who Care of Waukesha County. Welcome to the show today, ladies.
Thanks so much. Jill.
So why don't we start out by having you tell us who 100 Women Who Care is, and give us an example of this giving circle idea.
Thanks. So we started in 2015. I had been to a 100 Women Who Care Milwaukee event and was really impressed with it and took a few friends with me. And then they said, why don't we do this in Waukesha County? So we came back and started our own group with three of us. We grew from there, and we have our first donation that we ever had was in 2015 to Life's Connection. And now we have grown to 100 plus members.
Wonderful. And actually, Life's Connections has been on the radio show. So that's wonderful. And somebody here is involved as an employee of Ellenbecker is involved with the organization. Tell us how each of you then got involved with the organization.
So as I mentioned, I was one of the co-founders. There were two other people that joined and started the group with me, but then their lives got busy and they went different directions. So I became executive director. And then several years ago, I added a steering committee, which is fantastic. So I have a really great group that helps, and Michelle is part of that.
And Michelle's part of that great group that helps. So Michelle is also our director of compliance here at Ellenbecker, but you also are part of this great group. So tell us how you got involved and why.
All right. Well, I remember this distinctly. I think it was during Christmas, the Christmas time of 2023. And I was looking at, we received in the mail a local magazine. I think it was the Blue Magazine. And I opened up and there was a great article about this giving circle. And I thought, this is a wonderful concept. And I reached out to Laura because there was an email address in the article, and the rest is history. And I fell in love with the concept. And, you know, for me, it was a great way to meet other women in the area and network and learn about all of the different nonprofits in Waukesha County. I had no idea. And it's just, you know, part of the wonderful thing about it is learning what each organization brings to the table.
And actually, that's why we do the show. Is we said, oh my goodness, there are so many wonderful nonprofits out there that people, unfortunately, may not know about. You know, let's give them a platform to really share what they do and how they make an impact. So speaking of mission that you talked about, Michelle, where did the 100 Women movement come from?
So that actually started in 2006. Karen Duggan is the woman who started it, and she gathered a group of friends that found they needed portable cribs. They literally had children sleeping in drawers of dressers. And so they came together, and she decided to ask them all to bring money, and they committed to this and donated this first $12,800 to these cribs. It has grown across the world since then. We have 100 women, men, kids, teens chapters, and there are now 900 across the world. So
wow, that's impressive. Well, I read that the U.S. is home to about 4,000 giving circles with about 370,000 members, and collectively they gave away over $3 billion from 2016 to 2023, and that it's likely to double again in the next 5 years. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Are there other 100 women groups in Wisconsin here? You mentioned Milwaukee.
There are.
Around the state?
There are many all throughout the state. So if we are not close and you can still hear this, we would definitely say take a look, because there's some great other chapters that exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where and when does the Waukesha chapter meet, and is there a big time commitment?
No, we meet only four times a year. I say it is the busy women's charity, because we literally meet for 1 hour four times a year. So Tuscan Hall is wonderful enough to donate the space to us, and that's our home base where we meet those four times a year. And then that's it. It's very simple.
And don't you have like an optional 30-minute social gathering? So we as women, we like to socialize.
We do. We definitely do. So the first 30 minutes, and that's also a way to give back a little bit to Tuscan Hall. So my oldest daughter happens to help with the bartending, because she volunteers to do that for us. And that's a little bit of a way to give back to them with that optional 30 minutes to come together and socialize. But then the meeting's very strict, 1 hour.
Okay. Not 1 second longer, right?
No.
She keeps to the 1 hour. Trust me.
And that's good. Like you said, we're all busy women. We have things to do. And knowing that, if we go in with a mission, we can accomplish great things, right?
Yes. Right.
Well, what about the financial commitment?
Well, the financial commitment is $100 each quarter. And however, we do have the opportunity for a team of two to share a vote, and that would be $50 each per quarter. And then also we have for 16 to 30-year-olds, it would be $30 per quarter. So we understand that you're just starting out when you're under 30, so we only ask $30 each quarter for that commitment. But other than that, it's the financial commitment, $100 per quarter.
And again, just to reiterate, you can have a team. So you and
Correct.
A best friend want to go in, but then you share your vote.
Correct. You share the vote.
Okay.
Yes. Well, you have to determine between the two of you who you would like to, you know, who the team would be voting for.
Okay. So $100 per quarter. So $400 a year for the individual this is. You can have a massive impact. Again, that's the idea of this collective giving or these giving circles. And so if you are somebody who has a particular cause, or, you know, maybe doing something on your own would be nice. But what I understand the value of these collective giving circles is that the massive impact. So you've got however many in your group times 100, you can have that much more of an impact in the community.
Correct. I always tell people, I, on my own, would never have given $250,000, but as a group, we have. Mm-hmm. And that is super powerful, because we're regular women making a huge impact collectively.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, if you're a nonprofit listening, you might be wondering, how do we get nominated for a grant? Well, stay tuned, because we're going to answer that after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking in our next segment today with Laura Campbell and Michelle Pollack from the 100 Women Who Care. So if I'm a nonprofit and I want to get nominated for one of your grants, how do I go about doing that? And also, how do you decide who to give to?
That's a great question. So our charities are nominated by our members. So if we had a charity that wants to be nominated, they really need to find a member Or they can be a member. We have many of our members who did come from the nonprofits because wonderful people continue to do wonderful things. And so we have three charities that are chosen each time, again, recommended by our members and then vetted. And then those members present to the best of their ability in the meeting for 5 minutes and tell us a little bit about the charity. Then as a group, we collectively vote and we choose the charity that we have voted for in that particular giving circle.
Okay, and so the members vote, the nonprofits present.
The members present, and then we have the nonprofit come after they're chosen.
Okay.
So that they can share how they used our donation.
Oh, so the member shares about the nonprofit,
correct,
not the nonprofit themselves. Okay. All right. Very
correct.
Good.
And the nice thing, too, is that we actually videotape each presenter. So for women that are not able to make it to the meeting, we put that video out. We email those videos out to them that night and say, you know, since you weren't able to attend, here's a video of each of the presenters. Please email your choice, you know,
the
organization that you've chosen to us, and we give them a time frame. So then obviously the organization that has received the most votes will receive the donation.
Okay. Well, who are some of the nonprofits that are putting your donations into action, and how are those donations used?
We've had some amazing charities and some that you just have never heard of, even living in Waukesha County for years. Some of the recent ones we gave to were Life Striders. And I remember the story that was told for their sharing because they described a horse with a girl that had a disability that just stopped dead in its tracks. And the girl was having a seizure. And Life Striders is all about therapy and helping kids with disabilities, and so everyone was so moved. They were like, that's amazing, and that charity was chosen so quickly. But the great thing is we got to find out how our money went to use, and we actually helped build their parking lot. And so many members have said as they drive by, they see the parking lot, and it just gives them a great feeling to know that we help sponsor that. We also worked with Journey 21 in Oconomowoc recently for transportation for their students. We had Friends with Food, where we were able to provide funds to them to purchase a delivery truck. And then recently we donated for Bereaved Together, and that enabled them to host some of their wellness workshops and a new operating system, which sometimes it's not a glamorous donation that we might, you know, be giving, but it's literally keeping the doors open of some of these amazing nonprofits.
Yeah, because some of them are these small organic grassroots
yes.
organizations, and that's really how the show started, by giving those small organizations that don't have marketing dollars an opportunity to be put on blast. So it's wonderful in whatever way you can help for them. Now, you said before in the first segment that you guys meet four times a year for exactly 1 hour, not a minute more.
Right.
So, and a nonprofit leader can also be a member and be a part of the meetings, I'm guessing. Give us an idea or a feel for what a meeting looks like.
Yeah, the meetings start with just a brief summary of the organization. Then we hear from our three members telling us about the nonprofits that they are recommending. And then we hear again from the member, or I'm sorry, from the charity that presented that won. They tell us how they used our donation. And that really is the most impactful part of that 1 hour session, is finding out how the nonprofit used our donations. And then we're in and out. And part of that is because Tuscan Hall is, again, donating the space. So we're very conscious of getting in and getting out.
So I'm just thinking here, with you guys meeting four times a year, do you have four grants annually then?
We do.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And why do the members recommend instead of the nonprofits?
The reason we do that is because we often have amazing charities that are nominated, but if they don't make it and they had to come, that's like almost a whole year in some cases before a charity might be chosen. So out of respect for their time, we don't have them come until they've been chosen and they come and tell us how they use the money.
Got it. Okay. And what communities are represented?
We have really all of Waukesha County. So Waukesha, Mukwonago, Oconomowoc, New Berlin, Pewaukee. It's just we have really started to try to focus a little bit more because Waukesha County is very large. Mm. So we mainly had Waukesha area, and then we did work a little bit on the Oconomowoc area. So now we have more people for Oconomowoc. And most of our, we just recently did a survey, most of our members heard about us from other members. Mm. So we have mothers, daughters, we have best friends, we have teams of two that come together and just really have a lot of fun four times a year.
Yeah, right. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising, right? Do you guys have support from matches?
Michelle, I'll let you take that one since you're the treasurer.
Well, we do have an organization that does contribute to us. And the name again, Laura?
Richard Schulz Foundation. Thank you. He was the founder of Best Buy and really loved the 100 People movement. And so we are blessed enough to get a matching donation from them.
Yes, that is very helpful and really makes a greater impact to the organization by having that additional grant.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, where are you right now as far as membership and dollars donated?
So from our membership standpoint, last year in 2023, we hit 100 members. But right now, we are currently up to 125 members and 125 strong, and we are growing.
So 125 women who care.
Yes, 125.
And growing.
Yes, and this year we hit a milestone of $250,000 that we have given to Waukesha County nonprofits, which we are incredibly proud of.
That's wonderful. And you can have 200, right? You can have 300. I mean,
absolutely.
There's no number,
no limit.
Really.
The
but
sky's the limit.
So hundreds of women who care. Maybe that's going to be the next time. Yeah. What about future plans for the group?
It's just to keep going. We continue to expand our membership. We really want to see that 30 under 30 grow because it's helping young women have the joy of giving and learning about philanthropy at a really low cost for them. And so we are hoping to get that group to expand. We just started a little more Instagram, which seems to be what we were missing.
Yeah, you need to speak to them in the method that they're used to seeing, right? So what would you say is your call to action then?
We would say come and check us out. Come join us, bring a friend, visit our website or Facebook. Just search 100 Women Who Care Waukesha County and all of our different social events will... media will come up, but come and see us and check it out for yourself. We are happy to have people just visit for the first time.
Okay. So if someone just Googles 100 Women Who Care, they have to be sure that they're looking at the Waukesha one, correct?
Waukesha County.
Waukesha County.
Oh, okay. All right.
And if they Google our page and they take a look at it, I would highly recommend that they go to, there's a page, all of the organizations that we have donated to, and with a link to the organization, so you can see right there who we've given to, or you can look at the organization more in detail, read about them. So I think that's a great, great page that we have on our website.
Absolutely, because you're then putting the other people on blast again. You're just kind of paying it forward and saying we're supporting you now. Not listeners, but members or people who are just visiting your page, go see the type of impact that we've made. Because oftentimes we talk about POP or proof of performance. How do you know that what you're doing is working? And I think that is a great way to share, like stories of impact, to go out and say, look at all these organizations that we have helped and made an impact for them in the community. So that's wonderful. So thank you both for being here and for sharing your passion about 100 Women Who Care. Thank you so much for being a part of the interview.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. When I told 100 Women Who Care that they can choose who their guest partner will be for the radio show, they didn't hesitate in recommending the next nonprofit because of the great work that they do and the impact that they're making in the community. So stay tuned and we'll find out who that is right after a short commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. 100 Women Who Care did not hesitate to recommend our next nonprofit guest because of the great work that they do and the impact that they're making in our community. Meet our next guest today, Laura Sharon and Melissa Carini from Family Service of Waukesha. Welcome to the show today, ladies.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Laura, let's start with you. I know that you've been with Family Service for a while. Can you tell us what the agency does and why have you stayed for so long?
Well, my entire professional career has been in community-based nonprofit organizations that address mental or behavioral health issues. And I was first attracted to Family Service because I knew one of the employees there, and I respected this person's professionalism and integrity and the non-judgmental approach that I saw in her when she cared for others. And as I learned more about Family Service and their dedication to helping underprivileged people and the impact that the agency's partnerships and programs had in the community, I realized that my values were perfectly aligned with the values of Family Service, and the things that originally attracted me to the agency are still characteristic of Family Service today.
Okay, and so we'll dive a little bit more into specifically some of the programs in a little bit. But Melissa, what about you? How long have you been with the? How long have you been a part of the Family Service mission?
Yeah, I've been with Family Service for roughly 6 years in multiple capacities, and very similar to Laura's reason, is finding a home in a mission-driven agency that's giving back to the community is why I found Family Service and have continued to have my career forward there.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, talk about some of the demographics of Waukesha County, because I think sometimes people think we're a county of affluence. And there are those pockets of affluence, but I think people might be surprised at the need, the various needs in our county.
Absolutely. You're right that Waukesha County is viewed as an upper middle class, or at least a middle class and a resource-rich community, and the mental health needs tend to not be as visible as they would be in a more urban area like Milwaukee. But they do still exist, and there are a number of people who are really struggling. I can remember back in 2013, when we first started our school-based program in the largest district in the county, which is Waukesha, I learned that 35% of their students were economically disadvantaged. And last year, even though the enrollment in the school district of Waukesha has been declining, the number of economically disadvantaged students has actually risen. And you know, Waukesha County, I've lived here my whole life. It's a great place to live, but it's also expensive to live here. The cost of living is unaffordable for a lot of people, and I've heard that 1 in 5 in the county are struggling economically, and about a quarter of our residents can't even afford the basic costs of living, even though they have jobs.
And I think it was the Hope Center a while ago that I interviewed, and we were talking about the stats, you know, at how many Waukesha County residents live at or below the poverty level. And it was surprising to find out how many there actually are. Tell us about some of the unique needs Family Services is meeting in Waukesha County.
Well, over the 60 years, the community has come to trust our agency because of our longevity in Waukesha County and our expertise in mental health. So when there are community needs, Family Service has been trusted to create programs and services that are designed to meet those needs. And so it's actually part of our mission to meet the needs of low-income people who are struggling with their mental health. The agency was formed back in 1964 when the County Department of Human Services was the only place where people struggling with their mental health who were low-income could get care. And we've remained true to our mission to serve underserved people and low-income people. Back in the early 1990s, Family Service took over some support group programs that had been offered through what was then Waukesha County Technical Institute, better known these days as Waukesha County Technical College. But one of the group programs at that time was a domestic violence prevention group. And when the problem of domestic violence became more visible and the needs of domestic violence victims became an important need in the community, we expanded from this single domestic violence support group into an entire group of programs that we now offer through what we call our Center for Prevention of Family Violence. It's a program that helps protect hundreds of families from domestic violence every year. And, you know, another example of a community need that we have here in Waukesha that Family Service has risen to meet was started back in the early 2000s when a couple of large donations were provided to start up two significant programs that address the needs of a rising number of children in Waukesha County who suffer from the negative impact of physical abuse, sexual abuse, or neglect. A generous woman joined with our vision by donating more than $200,000 to establish a specific mental health program for traumatized children. And we also worked with community partners to establish Waukesha County's first child advocacy center. And then another donation helped us acquire a building to house both of these programs that focused on the needs of traumatized children. Family Services vision and leadership, supported by the generosity of donors, helped us to become one of the first community-based organizations in the county to specialize in treating traumatized children. Now, in recent years, we've been able to broaden our children's mental health services to meet the needs of all children who are struggling with mental and behavioral health, but we're very proud of our children's counseling services.
Well, you should be. You should be. Okay, so you mentioned some of these programs in existence today. What are some other programs that are at Family Service today?
I already talked about the mental health services we provide to children and our Center for Prevention of Family Violence that prevents the recurrence of family violence by changing attitudes and behaviors. But we also offer an educational class called Children Cope with Divorce that helps divorcing parents understand the needs of their children and remain focused on the needs of their children, because we know that children are especially vulnerable during the times of family change that characterize family separation and divorce. And Family Services school-based counseling program helps to improve access to counseling services for families who experience barriers to receiving services in the community. We bring mental health counseling services directly to students on site at their school. Our school service providers work in collaboration with schools to address the growing number of students who have mental health needs. And these services focus on children starting in grade 4K all the way through 12th.
Yeah, I mean, I read, again, a stat quite a while ago on, like, at what age level are kids starting to need support in that area, and they said, like, second grade, you know, was like an average, you know, and it's,
right.
Yeah, it just blows my mind, it just to think about that.
And, you know, Jill, we mentioned that many of our services are focused on youth and families who've been impacted by traumatic childhood events, but we also work with adults. And we find that roughly 75% of the adults that engage in mental health counseling services were themselves victims of adverse childhood experiences or various forms of childhood trauma. And they've continued to struggle into adulthood, and that just, you know, highlights the importance of early intervention.
Absolutely, right. Well, we often ask, how do you know that what you're doing is actually working? What would you say to that?
Well, we do conduct outcome surveys of our clients who appear in our clinic for services, and on average, about 80% of the children we work with improve in their social-emotional skills, and they strengthen their ability to regulate their emotions. And 91% of the people that we served in our mental health program last year reported having healthier coping skills as a result of the services that they received. Mm. You know, most people have individualized treatment goals, but we try to look at the overall impact of all of our programs on all ages.
Mm, very good. Well, and I've heard that there's a nationwide mental health epidemic among youth that people are very concerned about. We're actually going to take a quick commercial break, but when we return, we'll learn about what Family Service has to say about that and what they're doing to help. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Laura Chiron and Melissa Carini from Family Service. I've heard that there's a nationwide mental health epidemic among youth that people are very concerned about. Have you seen an uptick in the need for mental health care in Waukesha County? And if so, what is Family Service doing to help?
Yes, we've definitely seen an increase in mental health needs of Waukesha County, so much that the county's five-year community health improvement plan has made youth mental health one of the three key priority areas based on findings of a survey that they did, where 56% of Waukesha high school students surveyed said they've experienced mental health symptoms in the last 12 months. These symptoms could be anxiety, depression, or even suicidal thoughts.
Wow.
Also statewide, about 1 in 5 children have a mental health disorder. So there's definitely an increase, and it only continues to seem like it's going upward. And as we're seeing these increases in the need, we're also seeing that it has been more difficult for people to access care when they need it because there are less providers and longer waits for available appointments. What Family Service is doing, an example of that, is meeting the needs and trying to reduce some barriers in the community. This happened when our community was struck by a tragedy and more people needed immediate health care. Most people have heard about the Christmas parade attack of November 2021 and the traumatic community impact that it had. Family Service participated in our community's response to that trauma and met some of the mental health needs that escalated after the attack. We continue to provide those supports along with other collaborative agencies. And we have several people at Family Service who are still receiving services and continue to struggle with mental health needs based on the impact of the parade attack. For example, I'm working with a current client who started to work with me after the event of the parade, where they were walking in the parade with their sports team and actually saw the vehicle drive through the crowd, hitting some of the dancing grandmas in front of them. It was really traumatic to everybody involved, but this particular client was having panic attacks and flashbacks of the event, intruding daily life to some capacity. I've been working with them ever since the attack, and they've had some significant improvements, but as we could imagine, continue to have some symptoms, especially when high stress situations arise.
Mm. When you say that the attack was back in 2021, that just blows my mind. I mean, I didn't realize how long ago that was, how time passes, and it's not surprising to know that somebody is still impacted by it today, because yes. those can have lasting effects.
Yes. Absolutely.
You mentioned a shortage of healthcare providers, which extends into the mental health field. How has this impacted family service?
That's a great question. Obviously, we are a mental health providing agency, and we know that there is a level of difficulty lately for people to access the care that they need. Wait lists are long. There's not enough providers with the care to meet the needs out there. And we found on a quality of life survey, one of our community members actually spoke about this, and they said that there's not equitable health care for all, and that access to affordable care is difficult, even more so for mental health care services. And being a mental health care provider in the community, that really struck with us. And we, as a leadership team at Family Service, came together to develop an action plan and how we can address this problem. We decided to launch a training program where providers who are newly entering the field can complete their internship or their required training hours, which can take up to 2 years after graduating from their master's program. And we created this program to help build not only our own clinical team and create mission-driven clinicians. We also have a hope that if they don't stay with Family Service after the program, that we're giving back to our community and helping to have an increase in qualified providers in Waukesha County and overall the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're providing a solution to the challenge. Well, what are some other challenges that you guys are facing right now?
Of course, because there are less people entering the field, the market, the job market for mental health care and those seeking jobs in that field has become very competitive, and those in the field are making higher than ever wage demands, concurrent with the ever-rising cost of doing business. This has put us in some difficult positions, and we're fortunate that most of our services are providing, that we provide, we can bill to an insurance company. That is where a majority of our income comes through, which is collected fees from insurance company. But in keeping with our mission to serve all people regardless of income, the agency typically provides roughly 25 to 35 financial hardship discounts to our clients every month. And at the end of the year, our fee discounts and bad debts can reach totals of $150,000. We also serve people that are insured with all insurance plans. And so low-cost HMO plans can have reimbursement rates of only about 55% of our actual costs, requiring us to find additional funds to offset some of those low reimbursement rates.
So you stated some of those challenges, but also how you're addressing those problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, we've talked about so many different things that you guys do, the great work that you do and the impact that you make in the community. What would you say would be your call to action for our audience?
Yeah, this is kind of a joke among the Family Service team, but shouldn't be a joke. We've been fondly referred to as the best kept secret of Waukesha County when people find out about us. And we don't think we should be a secret anymore. We don't want to be a secret anymore. We want people to know who we are and how we contribute to the community and the well-being of those in our community. We want people to help support our work. And we're always looking for people who are passionate about what we do and who align with our mission to help us share success stories. So if that's you or anyone else you know, please have them reach out to us. The ways that you can connect with us are through our email, which is info@fswaukesha.org, or visit our website by Googling Family Service of Waukesha. You can also show your support by following us on social media. We have a Facebook account, LinkedIn, and Instagram profile.
Wonderful. Well, there's a couple different ways that you can get access to Family Service of Waukesha, as Melissa just shared. So if you want to learn more, please go check that out. I want to thank my guests today, Laura Chiron and Melissa Carini from Family Service of Waukesha. Thank you for participating in our interview today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. And Laura Campbell and Michelle Pollack from the 100 Women Who Care. I appreciate all of you sharing how you and your organizations are making an impact in our community. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to the 100 Women Who Care or Family Service of Waukesha. And if you know of a great organization doing great work like our guests today that you think would be great guests on our show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are contributing to making our community a healthy and thriving place. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or on your cell phone via the iHeartRadio app. I encourage you also to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can now listen on demand at Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or Apple Podcast. My call to action for our listeners today is to give some thought to how you can make a difference in some way for someone in our community. Our guests have shared many ways that you can do that and have a significant impact, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating for their respective organization. I'm sure anything you do would be appreciated. So take some time to find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thank you for listening today, and have a great day.